please, turn to the book of Psalm 126. Psalms 126. Psalm 126, please. I began a message several weeks ago on a word study, on a word that we've been studying on, and the word is precious. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it's been a while. It's been a while ago. And I've decided to turn this into like a Wednesday night series. So on Wednesday nights, God willing, when I'm preaching, God willing, and He leads me this way, I'm just going to proceed through this. There's 13 times that the word precious or a derivative of that word is used in God's Word. And this is a blessing to me. And we've gotten through three of them, and we'll pick up with point four. It's found in Psalm 126. Let's pray together, and then we'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy in our lives. Thank You for who You are, and Lord, for what You've done for us. I pray, Lord, that You bless this time now. Bless this Bible study. Touch it in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray if somebody's come to church, never come to Christ, may You use it in a glorious way in their life. Bless our preacher and his wife as they're away. Brother Gary and his wife as they're away. Bless this upcoming mission trip. May You be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to pass out a sheet of paper and had you write down in your life what you consider to be precious, I wonder what you'd write down. And what we mean by that is this word means valuable. Things that are excellent. Things that are prized or good or honored or dear or esteemed of highest degree. Now, no doubt if we passed out those pieces of paper and brought them in and started reading them off, there'd be words on there like family. And may I say that family is precious, no doubt about it. There might be health written down, or there might be friends written down, or home, or mate, or children, or grandchildren, whatever the case may be. And while so many of us have many different things that we consider to be precious, may I tell you tonight that God in His Word has told us some things that He says are precious. And you know what we think is precious and what He thinks is precious could be something totally different. Now, I praise God for what He's given me in my life. There's no doubt about it. Praise God for my wife, my children, and how good God's been to me. But you realize that there's some other things that God says these things are precious. Now, there's three we've already looked at. I just want to reach over and tap it on the head because it's been so long ago since we've done this. First thing that we looked at in Psalm 36, don't turn there because I'm coming to Psalm 126, but in Psalm 36, especially verse number 7, we see that God's loving kindness is precious. And in context, He's saying this in verse 1, people don't fear God. In verse 2, they flatter themselves. In verse 3, they speak iniquity and deceit. In verse 4, they love evil. But yet in the midst of all of this, God says in the midst of a wicked generation and in the midst of people who are ungodly and wicked and who don't want anything to do with Me, God says, I still, in that surrounding, in that organization, if you will, in that mindset, even though they're wicked and they don't fear Me and they love evil and they flatter themselves, He's saying, I am merciful. And God says, My mercy in the midst of wickedness is precious. And let me say this to you. Amen. I'm glad our God is merciful. Where would we be without the mercy of Almighty God? That's the first precious thing. Then secondly, we looked at the redemption of the soul is precious. In Psalm 49, verses 6 through 20, especially verse number 8. Now in context there, again I'm just reaching over and tapping these on the head, we see people with their riches were depending upon their riches as their portion and happiness and their riches, they were expecting to secure them from all evil and supply them with all good. In other words, in context in Psalm 49, God said these people who have money are relying on their money instead of Me. And then He goes on to say, but the redemption of the soul is precious. And what He means by that is that you can't buy it. And it's precious because of what it's bought with. It's bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot buy it with money. And it's so precious because of what it took to redeem your soul. In other words, to redeem something means to buy back. And may I say this to you, that the Bible says that when we were born under sin. We were slaves to sin. But Jesus Christ, I'm talking about when he stretched out his hands and died, and that precious blood was coming out of him, he was buying back our soul. He was buying us out from under sin and putting us into the family of God. And God says that is precious. And it really is, because of what it means for you and for me. The third thing we looked at in Psalm 116 verse 15 is that the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we see that the death of a saint is a precious thing. And let me tell you why. Because death to a saint, a child of God, it only opens the door to glory land. And let me say this to you. I am glad that when I said goodbye to my papaw, and I'm talking about both of them, and I'm glad when I said goodbye to other people in my family and other people that I knew that were saved, I'm glad that's not the end. I'm glad there's a better day coming. I'm glad that heaven is real. I'm talking about glory land is real. And I am glad that one day we're going to see our loved ones who died in the Lord again. Amen. And I'll tell you something, that's precious tonight. Now I realize that the death of a saint is not necessarily precious to us, because to us it's a loss, but to heaven it's a gain. Because God, who is rich in mercy and sent his only begotten son down to save their soul, I'm talking about God said, Jesus said in John 17, he said, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And God says when they close their eyes in death here, they open their eyes in glory land there, and they're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And let me say this to you. The Bible says to be absent from the body, which is death, to be absent from the body for a child of God is to be present with the Lord. But yet Jesus told us in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Now God says a child of God who has died is in his presence, yet God says, I'm with you if you're my child. Now listen, if they are with him and he's with us, they can't be too far away. And what I'm saying to you folks, rejoice tonight if you've lost a mate. Rejoice tonight if you've lost a family member. Rejoice tonight if you've lost a child who was a saint, because it's not the end. It's only just a waiting period. You'll be with them again. Somebody shout amen right there. That's a precious thing. Then we pick up our reading in Psalm 126. We're looking at the word precious. And we see another thing that God says is precious within his word. And this next thing is in Psalm 126. Look at it. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Notice it. He that goeth forth and weepeth, here it is, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now in this text, we see that God says there's seed out there that's precious. Now, what is the seed? It's the Word of God, no doubt about it. That's brought out in the New Testament where the sower soweth the Word. There's no doubt about that. That the Word of God is the seed here that God says is precious. But in this text, we see him giving us a picture. He's drawing a picture for us. And the picture he's drawing is that of a farmer. Now, I want to try to paint this picture in your mind. I want you to picture a farmer on his couch. And he goes forth into the frosty air and treads the heavy soil. And as he goes, he weeps because of past failures, or because the ground is so sterile, or, you know, the weather is so unseasonable, or his corn is so scarce and his enemies are so plentiful. And as he takes his seed, his precious seed, he drops a seed and a tear. He drops a seed and a tear, and so he goes on his way. In his basket, he has seed, which is precious to him because he has little of it, and it's his hope for the next year, you understand? Because in this seed, it has power to feed him and to feed his family. He thinks little of himself, but much of his seed. And he eagerly asks, will it prosper? Shall I receive a reward for my labor? And the answer comes back, yes, good husbandman, yes, good farmer. Doubtless you will gather your seed from your sowing, because the Lord has written doubtless. In other words, even though you've dropped one seed here, you'll return to this field, not to sow, but to reap, not to weep, but to rejoice. And after a while, you'll go home again, though with a heavier load than you came, for you shall have sheaves to bear with you. Your handful shall be so greatly multiplied that many sheaves shall spring from it, and you shall have the pleasure of reaping them and bringing them home to the place from which you went out weeping. Here's a farmer carrying just a little seed in his house, and he's weeping, and he's thinking to himself, if this does not take root, then my family's going to starve. I'm going to starve. I'm not going to make any money. I'm talking about everything in my life is wrapped up in these seeds, this precious seed. So he begins to weep. And he begins to think, oh, is it going to take root? Oh, is it going to take root? And the answer comes back saying this, if you sow it, you'll reap it. Doubtless, you will come again with rejoicing, not weeping, bringing your sheaves with you. Now, listen to me. This speaks volumes to God's children tonight. Let me explain. After we've been delivered from our sins and saved by God's grace, we should be moved by a burden to see other people have what we've been given. We are to take what we have, that's the gospel message, the seed, the word of God, and we're to go into a lost world and sow it for the glory of God, trusting him to take our few seeds and turn them into a mighty harvest for his glory. See, there was a day when we were lost without God. If you're saved today, there was a day when that was not true. There's a day when you were lost. And you were without God. And just the memory of sin and a life lived apart from the Lord ought to be enough to drive us out in the world to tell others about a God who loves them and died to save them. You know, the Bible clearly indicates that many more will die lost than will ever die saved, because in Matthew 7:14 it says, few there be that find it. But someone said this, I hope this is not true. Someone said that only 2% of all the people who have ever lived will be saved. I hope that's not accurate. I hope that's not true. And all I'm saying to you is this, the Bible is so clear that there are two destinations, heaven and the lake of fire. There is no middle ground. Somebody says there's purgatory. I'll eat my Bible if you can prove it. I'll eat it. Bring a salt shaker to me. I'll eat it. I'll take a bite out of it. If you can show me one verse in God's Word that proves purgatory exists, I'll eat my Bible. It's not in there, folks. You want me to tell you what the secret is? It's no secret at all. Go as far as the Bible goes. If it's in God's Word, believe it. If it's not, don't believe it, because it's not true. Amen. It's God's word and God's word only. And I'm going to tell you what this lost and dying world needs. This lost and dying world does not need entertainment. It doesn't need finances. It needs the seed of God's word. That's what it needs. And there's no doubt. I mean, you know, talking about Tory and Faith here. They have given their lives to be missionaries in the country of Brazil. Let me tell you why. Because they realize that what the Brazilians need is the Word of God. That's why they're going. That's why they're going. And let me say this to you. Every single solitary person you come in contact with, they have one need, and that one need is God Almighty. That's their need. And He has manifested Himself in the seed of God's Word. Are you spreading it? Are you spreading it? Or are you keeping it to yourself? Listen to me, folks. If you keep seed in your house and you do not plant it, you do not spread it, it's not going to grow up into a plant. I know this is deep. Here we go again. I know it's hard to understand, but you've got to sow if you ever want to reap. You've got to do that. Some people say, listen, man, I'd like to see somebody saved. Good night, I'd love to see somebody saved. I mean, I want to make a difference. But they never knock on a door. They never give out a gospel tract. They never take the seed and give it out. For instance, today, I was visiting the hospitals. I was in the John City Medical Center. And I was going back to see Michael Hill's daddy in ICU. When I ran around the curve there, there was a young couple. I mean, I'm not sure if they're married or not, but going back to ICU, and they were just hugging each other and crying, weeping. Today, you ever walk by somebody and God pricks your heart and says, you need to talk to them? That ever happened to you? That happened to me. And I purposely went back, and when I went back, they were taking off. You ever talked yourself out of doing what God wants you to do? Well, it must not be your will, God, because, they're walking off. Nah, listen, maybe you've never done anything like that, okay? I did. I started feeling bad about it. I was like, God, I'm sorry. I said, I missed them. I said, I tell you what, if you want me to get them, help me to find them before I leave. I went on back to the ICU, went up to the seventh floor. I thought that's where your mother was, Brother Steve. By the way, the lady who's in there, I knew the lady with her. Hallelujah. So I was able to give the gospel out there, you see. Then I went out, and I'll be honest with you, it kind of slipped my mind. Kind of slipped my mind. But as I was walking out to the truck, I was on my way out, and I looked down, and as I was going this way, guess who's walking right towards me pretty much? That young couple. I stopped him. I said, excuse me. I said, were you all the two that I saw hugging in the hallway? They said, yes. I said, listen, I'm a preacher, and I just want to, and I took out a gospel tract, and I said, I just want to give you something. If we can ever help you in any way, I want you to let us know. She began to break down a little bit from what I could tell, and she was talking about it was her dad that hasn't had a lot of hope, I guess, given to him. Now, I'm trusting through that gospel tract that God will do a mighty work. You understand? You know what that's called? It's called sowing the seed. How many seeds have you given out this week? Convicting, isn't it? How many seeds have you planted? You know what we ought to do? We ought to take the seed of God's word. I'm talking about gospel tracts. I'm talking about our testimony. I'm talking about copies of God's word. I'm talking about taking God's seed, His precious seed, and spreading it everywhere we go. I'm talking about, listen, when you step, there ought to be a seed dropped everywhere you go. Grocery store, you ought to leave the seed everywhere you go. Gas station, listen, by the time you leave, there ought to be a seed somewhere around that gas station. Everywhere you go. Let me tell you why. Because that seed's precious. That seed has life in it. That seed has the potential of feeding the world. Dr. Clarence Sexton showed us one seed one time. I've got it back in my office. I wasn't there to see this. I just ordered this. Matter of fact, he gave it to me. It's called The Miracle of Multiplication. And his whole idea was this. He gave a seed, just one seed. I think it was a seed of wheat. Just one seed. And he says, I want you to take that seed, just that one seed, and I want you to hold it in your, I'm just talking about just right in between your two little fingers, just hold it, the tiny little thing, just one seed. And as they were holding it, he said, I want you to know that what you hold in your, I'm talking about that little tiny thing that you're holding in between your fingers, has the potential to feed the world. Do you realize that? It has potential to reproduce. I'm talking about you put it in the ground, you water it, it reproduces, it makes seeds. They reproduce, they make seeds. Out of one seed, there's life. Life that can satisfy a thirst or a hungering heart and soul.
And in this world, we have people who are thirsting for God. They don't know that that's what they're thirsty for. They're hungry. There's a void in them. They don't know what it is that they need. That's why they pump in music. That's why they pump in drugs. That's why they pump in sex. That's why they pump in all these worldly things. That's why you see people, excuse me, like Michael Jackson, who was never satisfied with the way he looked. He was looking for satisfaction somewhere else. And all I'm saying to you, the world's need is found in the seed. That can make a slogan for you. The world's need is found in the seed. It's found in the seed of God's holy word. And the picture he's showing us here in Psalm 126 is we see that in all of this, that the farmer, I'm talking about the farmer, knows everything depends on the seed taking root. And everything depends on it springing up into a crop. Why? So others may live. He knows if that seed is not watered properly or if that seed is not planted, that his family might go hungry. And may I tell you something, folks? If we do not give God's word, the seed of God's word out, there will be somebody somewhere who will die and go to a devil's hell. Do you believe that tonight? Before you answer, how many seeds have you given out? Now, I'm convicted. I'm not saying be like me, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It is time that we realize that somebody, somewhere, planted the seed in us, and it took root. I'm talking about if you're saved, somebody spread the seed to you. It may be a preacher. It may be a soul winner. I don't know who it is. I don't know. And listen, I may not know their name, but somebody, somewhere, God's saint took the seed of God's word and gave it to you, and it took root, and God blessed it, and God forgave your sin, and you're a Christian because somebody gave you the seed. Now, are you giving it to others? Are you giving it to others? God says his seed is precious. We're to go forth. Notice it in 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth. You know what those words mean? It means a continual, consistent going and sowing. It carries the idea of leaving a trail of seeds everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. It bothers me. Have you ever been out? I'm talking about going out on a town or something like that. I'm talking about, you know, going out to eat, something like that. And you reach in your pocket or you look in your vehicle where you normally have your stash of tracks and they're not there. That bothers me. Because I realize that one reason why I'm out and about is not just to feed my stomach. One reason I'm out and about is because God has a date with somebody else for me to give the seed to. One of the greatest things you can ever do with your life is sow seed. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. Imagine, I said this in teacher's meeting, let's just imagine tonight that we had a map of the United States of America. Okay? And we gave everyone in this room, plus along with our other members who are elsewhere, you understand, and maybe some who can't be here because they're sick. If we gave every single solitary member in our church a pushpin, just one pushpin, and had them come up on the map and push it in, it'd cover a whole lot of that map, wouldn't it? Let's condense it to the state of Tennessee. Let's condense it to Johnson City, Kingsport, Gray. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. We are so selfish and sinful in the fact that we thank God that somebody got to us, but we're not doing anything to get to them. Amen. That makes me feel bad. Good. You know what that's called? Conviction. Doesn't feel good, does it? All I'm saying to you, we, and notice I say we are hypocrites if we don't sow the seed. Because somebody sowed it for us. You understand? Somebody got to you with the seed. God wants us to take it and give it out everywhere else.
The seed that the farmer sows and we as God's children sow is called precious because of the life that's contained within it. You know, when the tomb of an Egyptian pharaoh was discovered many years ago, apparently, among the many treasures in that tomb were some seeds. And they estimated that those seeds were over 3,000 years old. You know what they did with the seeds? They took them out and they planted them. You know what happened to them? They grew up in the plants. After 3,000 years. Now, what a beautiful picture God has given us for His Word. It's been working for thousands of years, hasn't it? And there's as much life in it today as there ever has been. Amen? There's life in this book. There's life in the Word of God. God wants us to give it out. I'll tell you this story. So a preacher told this story. He said a man joined his church and had a member there for a while. This member came up to him after one of the morning services and he pulled him aside. He pulled the preacher aside. It's a true story. And asked if he would go and visit his wife. Well, the preacher didn't even know that this man was married, so he said, sure, I'll go see your wife. He said, oh, by the way, preacher, she's a confirmed atheist and she hates preachers. But she's already got him to commit to go see her, you understand. He said, by that time, I'd already promised to go, so I had no choice. So Tuesday night, he took his wife and they went to visit with this lady. Her name was Diane. Nothing personal there, by the way, Diane. But to say the least, when they got there, the visit was extremely cool and her reception wasn't that good. And she let the preacher know that she was an atheist and that she didn't like preachers, but she agreed to let him come in for 5 minutes. Well, the preacher said, you know, I got to work in a hurry, and he said, Diane, do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? She said, I don't even believe in heaven. I told you I'm an atheist. I said, this preacher, he said, are you telling me that you know that there's no God? She said, yes, sir, I'm telling you, I know there's no God. Here's what the preacher said. The preacher said, okay, so let me ask you a question. He said, do you know absolutely everything there is to know? I mean, everything. About everything. She said, well, of course not. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll be generous with you. He said, let's say that you know half of everything there is to know. Now, nobody in this room knows half of everything there is to know. You understand? He said, let me just be generous with you. Let's just say that you know half of it. She said, okay, let's just say I know half. He said, okay, let's separate. Let's say this half are all the facts you know, and this half is stuff you don't know anything about. He said, isn't it possible that in the half of knowledge you don't know, isn't it possible that God might be in that half? She said, you know, I've never thought of it that way. She said, I'll tell you what, I don't know if he doesn't exist. I just don't think he exists. He said, so now you're not an atheist, you're an agnostic. She said, yes. Of course, he didn't tell her that agnostic means ignoramus. But anyway. Anyway. When this happened, he said this. He said, now we're getting somewhere. You're not an atheist because you realize you don't know everything, and it is possible that God could exist in the knowledge that you don't have. She said, yes. He said, I want to ask you a question. Are you an honest agnostic? She said, what do you mean? She said, well, an honest agnostic will say this. I don't know if there's a God, but I want to find out. A dishonest agnostic would say, I don't know if God exists and I don't want to know. I don't want to know. You see the difference? She said, well, I'm an honest agnostic. She said, if God exists, I want it. I don't think he does, but if he does, I want to know. He said, okay. And he went out in his car and he brought in a New Testament paperback Bible, the seed. He turned to the book of John and he said, here's what I want you to do. I challenge you to take a chapter a day, just one chapter per day for 3 weeks. And I want you to read it And for 3 weeks, you will not see me, you will not hear from me, but in 3 weeks, I'll come back and see how you're doing. And here's what I want you to do. As you read through the Gospel of John, chapter a day, I want you to ask yourself two questions. Number one, who did Jesus claim to be? Number two, what am I going to do about it? So she said, okay. So he got in his car and he left. That was a Tuesday night. Sunday morning, he gave the invitation. Guess who was the first one down the aisle? It was this lady, and apparently she was weeping. And she came forward, and he said, this preacher said, you know, I didn't have a lot of faith, and I walked over and said, what are you coming for? And she said, I want to be baptized. He said, wait a minute. He said, that's a good thing, but you're not supposed to be baptized scripturally until you're a born-again child of God, because baptism is just a symbol. It has no saving power. You must be saved. You've got to know the Lord as your Savior. She said, oh, I've been saved. He said, what are you talking about? She said, I've got saved this week. He said, when? She said, Wednesday morning. And she smiled and said, I didn't get past the first chapter. What's the point? The preacher's know-how, now God led him, you understand, but the preacher's words could not convince her. But God's word did. You know, I'm dealing with a man right now. He's not in this church, but I'm dealing with him. And I challenge him to do the same thing. He does not know if there's a God. He's doubting it. He's not really sure. I said, if you really want to know if God exists, and I use the same approach. I said, I want you to take the Gospel of John, and I want you to read a chapter every day, and after 3 weeks, I'll come back. And I said, if you really want to know, you'll do this. So I gave that to him. After 3 weeks, I went back, and I asked him, I said, have you been reading? You know what his answer was? No. You know what I asked myself? Why? Why does that man not read? Let me tell you why. I think he didn't want to know. Amen? Isn't that sad? I want you to pray for him. God knows who I'm talking about. Pray that God will get a hold of him. And all I'm saying to you is this. I was going to go to the second thing tonight. I'm gonna quit early tonight. I know that's a shock to the church. I know that. But I just don't feel led to go into another point after this because I feel like the Lord is trying to really drive this home. Aren't you glad tonight that somebody gave you the seed? Are you? Are you glad about that tonight, folks? Hey, if you didn't get the seed, you're on your way to hell. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, the Bible says. How selfish is it of us to take what gave us life and what we know will give everybody else life and keep it in our living room, keep it in our home, keep it in the track rack back there, and not give it out? Who cannot take a gospel tract and give it to somebody else? By the way, God will help you with this. I challenge you with this. You know what's amazing to me? I am now training people how to soul win. That's amazing to me. I'll tell you why. I'm a stutterer. I stutter. You see it every now and then. You hear it every now and then when I get hung up and I stutter. You know what the devil tried to use with my stuttering? He tried to get me to stop going soul winning because to make me think I'll never get a word out. But God used it to keep me humble. You see the difference? You see the difference, folks? God knows that he gave that to me. That's one reason why Moses is one of my heroes. Because Moses, what was one of his excuses when God told him? He said, I can't talk. I'm a stutterer. Moses is one of my heroes. And all I'm saying to you, God is using that weakness to show himself strong. I remember the first time I gave a gospel witness. I was a teenager. I might have been younger than a teenager. I guess I was probably 12 or so. Maybe a little bit older than that. I don't remember exactly. It was out at the Daniel Boone Little League field, which is now the Daniel Boone softball field. And there was a boy there with the name of Jamie Myers. Still remember this. And God was dealing with me about sharing my faith, sharing my faith, sharing my faith. And I used to deal with people like this. I'd get right beside them and I'd go S.
I go, S-A. S-A-V. I go, S-A-V-E. They go, save. I say, S-A-V-E-D. They'd say, save, and I'd say, are you? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I didn't know any better. Scared to death. Remember the first time I approached this young man, after I got through talking, he didn't get saved, but after I got through talking to him, you know what I did? I literally started jumping up and down in joy. Because God was planting a seed in my heart. You know who started me out giving gospel tracts? He's not here tonight. He can't walk. His name's Mr. Curley. Where did I start giving tracts out? Sixth grade. Who got me giving it out? My Sunday school teacher. And now I'm going to be the next pastor of the church? Can't even talk. Training you how to go out and do it. All I'm saying to you is if I can do it, you can too. That's what I'm saying. It's not me. It's not you. It's him. It's his word. And he says, go, and I go with you. If you go and you weep, you'll doubtless come again. I'm asking you, are you giving out what somebody gave to you? If you're not, you're a hypocrite. What else can it be? What else can it be? If you know it changed your life and it can change their life, but you say, I'm so afraid, I'm so scared, join the crowd. So am I. So was I. You think I can, glory to God, I get to go out and give a track out today. Glory to God. Not all the time. But I do it anyway because I know it changed my life and it can change their life because the seed is precious. It's precious. And I wonder tonight, what are you doing to spread the seed? Now, Wednesday night's supposed to be teaching. I understand. Sometimes I turn it into preaching a little bit. But I'm challenging you this evening. Fill your pocket with the seed of God and spread it everywhere you go. Amen? Amen. That's what you need to be doing, no doubt about it. Let's all pray together, shall we? Our Father, help us now. Help us to serve you. Help us to spread the seed. Help us to realize that without this seed that we would be lost. Without this seed, we would not be going to heaven. And Father, I pray that you'll help our folks here, these precious, precious people. God, thank you for them. Would you continue to challenge them to take the seed, the precious seed as your word calls it, and give it out. Father, help us. I'm going to ask one question and I'm done. Have you all say, Jody, I'm convicted. God is speaking to me about sowing the seed. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. That's a lot of hands. That's a lot of hands. My, if everybody who raised their hand would just start sowing, what a difference we'd see. Father, you saw the hands. Take it now. Bless it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Listen, as you leave, we have a special need tonight that preachers asked me to announce to you. Dee, some of you all know Dee. She's a student at Pensacola, and she's needing some financial help to be able to pay her school bill off. So as you leave tonight, if God prompts you, if God wants you to do this, if you feel like God would have you to help with this, our men will be standing at the back with the offering plates, and you can write a check, write it out to the church if you do that, and then we'll make sure that this gets to her, okay? At this time, I'm going to dismiss all the bus captains, bus workers, everybody over to the chapel. If you're going to the visitation meeting, you can be dismissed downstairs. And let's all stand together, please. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Tim Tipton, sir, if you don't mind to lift your voice and ask God to bless the service tonight, please, if you don't mind.